The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
You're listening to Fresh FM. I'm Matt, and I'm currently joined by Ali Cave. That means it's time for another fantastic Nelson Film Society film preview, part of the week that I always look forward to. I don't often see the films, but I really enjoy finding out about them, and it always makes me think, I wish I wasn't booked out on a Wednesday night. Anyway, Ali Cave, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, yeah.
Excellent. It's always, as I say, a highlight of the week. So I do a couple of film shows, one with State Cinemas on their sort of very mainstream kind of releases, and then this one with the Nelson Film Society, which is always quite, I guess, left field compared to the mainstream.
Yes, I think that's a good way to describe it. and we've got the film festival starting in Auckland tonight.
So we'll
see a lot more of these types of films.
That's exciting. So what film are we covering for the next installment of the Nelson Film Society, which I think will be happening next Wednesday, sometime in July? No, August, man.
6th of August.
August the 6th. It's hard to get my head around. Anyway, tell us about the film you're featuring this week.
Okay, so this is a 1967 French film made by the pioneer of the French New Wave film movement during the 1950s and 60s, Jean-Luc Godard. His work is said to have revolutionized the motion picture form. The film we'll be watching, La Chinoise, is possibly the best example of his transformation from making radical films seen from a Marxist perspective, the ones being more about human conflict and artistic representation. Having begun his career as a film critic, frequently criticizing mainstream French cinema, Godard was to become the most influential French-Swiss filmmaker of the post-war era, not only as a film director, but also as a screenwriter, producer, editor, actor, and critic. His work often expressed his political views, while at the same time he experimented with narrative, continuity, sound, and camera work. So, La Chinoise translated means the Chinese. It's a dark comedy drama where Godard focuses on a group of five middle-class students who are disillusioned by their suburban lifestyle and look to the Chinese Cultural Revolution for inspiration, embracing the ideals of Mao Zedong. Being an avid reader of existentialism and Marxist philosophy himself, Godard sought an artistic response to international conflicts of the day, as well as being very concerned with the social problems in France. This group of students in the film engage with the ideas that were emerging from the student activist groups in contemporary France, such as colonialism in North Africa and Southeast Asia. And some thought this film foreshadowed the student rebellions that took place during the events of May 1968. The story takes place over a summer vacation in a sprawling flat on Paris's Rue de Miromesnil. Five students form a Maoist cell, which they call the Adan Arabi, taken from the title of the most famous novel by communist Paul Nizon. The group plan to change the world by any means necessary, striving to incite revolution through terrorist violence, eventually plotting to assassinate a high-ranking Russian government official. The flat where the story takes place was the newly purchased and actual residence of Godard and his then wife and star of the film, Anne Lievinsky, who plays Veronique. Others in the cast are also New Wave luminaries and include Jean-Pierre Léo, who plays Guillaume. He and Veronique are romantically linked, though their relationship is strained because of their commitment to the cause. Others in the collective are Juliette Berthaud as Yvonne, Michel Semenyoko as Henri, and Lex de Bruin as Kirillov. These five lead a series of discussions and performative skits addressing matters of French colonialism, American imperialism, and the broader conflict which was raging in Vietnam. While Godard is sympathetic to their cause and rejects bourgeois ideology, he deliberately portrays his chosen ones as bunglers who behave affectedly as they try to impress others. Throughout the film, the characters are portrayed as being serious in their objectives, but also childish in their approach. Reminiscent of Theater of the Absurd, Godard's intention seems to be to let the foundational storyline serve as a warning. Revolution is indeed necessary, but it requires discipline and maturity. The entire film is like a colorful pop art punch of images. While these late 1960s Western intellects are furiously reading, debating, and discussing how to make the world a better place, they get lost in the sincerity of their cause. Most of the Maoists in the film come from intellectual and affluent backgrounds, as Godard called them, the children of Marx and Coca-Cola. Veronique is a philosophy student. Guillaume is an actor. Serge, a painter. Only two have proletarian credentials. Henri, a chemist, and his partner Yvonne is a young woman from the countryside. However, the cells largely live as bourgeois bohemians in an apartment borrowed from Veronique's relatives for the summer of 1967. The characters spend their days studying Marxist texts, delivering lectures to each other, and figuring out how they can apply Maoism in order to make revolution. The atmosphere in the cell has an almost surreal quality. Mornings are spent during calisthenics to the chants of Maoist slogans, and revolutionary culture is calmly discussed in the evening while sipping tea from fine china. Classes and discussions are regularly held with guest speakers on a variety of topics, not unlike a revolutionary university. And despite the Maoist dictum that women hold up half the sky, Yvonne functions largely as a group maid. She brings her comrades tea, cleans the windows, and polishes their shoes. Yvonne even prostitutes on the side when the others can't bring in money. While Veronique and Guillaume have a relatively sophisticated understanding of Maoist theory, Yvonne struggles with comprehending theory to a much greater extent than her comrades. She's isolated from the others during lectures and discussions. For all of Adam Adderby's calls about solidarity with the working class, the irony is that they aren't able to connect with their own working class roommates. On the surface, the ideas in La Chinoise seem simple enough. These students live together, have political discussions, and eventually turn to revolutionary violence. But with this film, the narrative structure with its traditional language that moviegoers had become accustomed to and had come to expect before Godard was totally dismantled. La Chinoise was a serious experiment at creating a new art form in grappling with how to make a revolution. In doing this, the film becomes difficult to follow. But La Chinoise is said to be one of Godard's most important and visually astounding works. The viewer is bombarded with slogans, images, and ideas on everything, from popular culture to revolutionary politics. It is this slightly altered approach that allows the director to focus on the visuals and the color, the movement, and the flow, working with his cinematographer, Raoul Coutard, who photographed nearly all of Godard's films during the New Wave period. La Chinoise was the only color film that he shot full frame. Some long-held artistic rules are upheld. Use only three colors, the three primaries, blue, yellow, and red, which Godard uses heavily in the film. However, they're displayed in an ironically unbalanced way, as if to blatantly ridicule traditional aesthetic form. Godard believed that equally important to focusing on an artwork itself is the perspective of the viewer. Also of note in the film is the music, much of which is composed by Michel Jean Legrand, an arranger, conductor, jazz pianist, and a singer. He wrote the music for The Umbrellas of Cherbourg and The Windmills of Your Mind. You might remember those.
Mm.
Godard also looked to the playwright Bertolt Brecht and his theory of epic theater, called the alienation effect, as a source of inspiration, where his characters speak directly to the audience, who are then encouraged to actively engage with the ideas being presented to them. Godard would employ this and then interrupt the natural narrative flow by juxtaposing seemingly unrelated images or voice-over commentaries. He is said to be the first filmmaker to perceive film history as a text. By resisting the traditional film language, he created mostly plotless films with emotionless characters. This is also evident in the ways that he spliced images with intertitles and dialogue as if he was making a philosophical argument rather than telling a story. And the ending of the film presents an ambiguous message. While Adon Atterby dissolves and the Maoists go their separate ways, revolutionary politics are not necessarily abandoned. Just as in real life, the challenge of proletarianizing intellectuals finding the appropriate tactics for revolution is easier said than done. Ironically, the Maoist students who inspired La Chinoise despised it. The Maoists thought Godard made them look foolish and stupid. Godard deserved better. In a 1967 interview, he explained his motivations in producing La Chinoise, where he said, "Everywhere people are speaking about China, whether it's a question of oil, the housing crisis, or education, there's always the Chinese example. China proposes solutions that are unique. What distinguishes the Chinese Revolution and is also emblematic of the Cultural Revolution is youth, the moral and scientific quest free from prejudices." Arguably, Maoism and the Cultural Revolution did not provide the answers that Godard believed they did. However, the questions raised by him on art and communist politics are far from superficial and remain ones with which every artist and revolutionary must grapple with. So there you have it.
Wow.
That's it for me. It's a bit long-winded. I'm sorry if that was the case, but there's a lot to say about him. He's a very important director, and in case you weren't familiar with his, with any of his films, and I've got to say I sometimes, I don't go out of my way, shall I say, to go to a film of his. It's important we know about him.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Have you seen this film before yourself?
Yeah, I have seen. I saw it earlier in the year.
Okay.
And it is quite challalging.
Mm.
It's, as I said, it's plotless and Yeah. I guess at the time, it was, you know, there are a lot of people who ran along to see that, you know.
Right.
Oh, another Clark film. Yeah.
Interesting, your comments you made about colour and the primary colours and stuff, because when I first opened up the website, the Nelson Film Society link to the New Zealand Film Society page, and looked at this film, the bold use of colour was definitely something that stood out. A lot of shots of quite close-up cameras, camera work, for people facing the camera. And I think you talked about the fourth wall somewhere in there too, did you?
Yes, that's right. You would call out, you know, you want the people to respond. I don't know whether they actually struck an answer to him in the cinemas then, but yes.
Wow.
Very much so.
Yeah. Look, it certainly is of a time. Just the knitwear and things that people are wearing, and the hairstyles. It certainly looks that late 60s period. The visuals are very, very stunning. Whether it's the guy wearing his glasses with, I think, is it the Chinese flag or something, it's like your communist symbols on things, and the use of reds and blues, it's striking, is what I will say. Very, very striking.
Yeah, the appeal of Maoism, is not only that Mao was anti-colonialist and anti-imperialist, but because the Chinese Revolution appeared to offer this living example of renewing communism compared to the exhausted Soviet model.
Yeah. And so is the transition of the students from their discussions through to action a believable sort of timeline?
I don't know. Can I say that?
They are
just students, so they get quite passionate about things, but whether or not they come to any conclusions, that remains to be, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you think this will be a film enjoyed by members of the Nelson Film Society? Like, it's not too challenging or anything, maybe?
I don't think it's too challenging, and certainly it's worth going to and seeing. You won't forget it, I don't think. I think it's an important film. His earlier films had begun to toy with some of these concepts, such as the alienation effect, and it's in this film that his vital mix of Brechtian aesthetics and Maoist ideas is most fully realized.
Wow.
Certainly anyone who, you know, follows him would definitely, this is a film to go and see.
Okay, and if you don't know a lot about Maoism, is there, you know, will you get some more understanding of the philosophy?
Oh, yes, I think so, yeah. What was it? The Maoists recognize that the progressive character, the Vietnamese struggle, and a quotation from Mao, all wars that are progressive are just, and all wars that impede progress are unjust. And we communists oppose all unjust wars that impede progress, but we do not oppose progressive just wars. Now, that's some quotation that I had written down here, but I'm not sure that they were... that was used in Vietnamese, in Vietnam, you know, at the time, something about that, yeah.
Okay, interesting. It's not a philosophy I know a lot about, so I'm going to sit down and watch the trailer after this, which is again on the Film Society website. You've got me interested enough that I'm going to sit down here and watch the trailer right now. So, Ali, is there anything more you want to add about a movie that I'm not even going to try and pronounce? We discussed my lack of French pronunciation off here.
Nothing more to add, no. As I thought in the beginning of the year, and as I started to look at the copy that I'd written, I thought, did I see this film or not? And then as I read it, I thought, oh, yes. And I remember, you know, what you'll see in the trailer there with the colors and the but the fact that it was plotless was, you know, made me almost forget it. There's like two sides of it. I remember certain things about it and then not others.
Okay, interesting. Sounds like it's something worth checking out. So it was made in 1967 in France. It's French with English subtitles, I'm gathering.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah, screening this coming Wednesday night, the 6th of August, 6 p.m. at State Cinemas in Trafalgar Street, Nelson. Ali Cave, thank you once again for giving up your time to join us for another Nelson Film Society film preview. It's always appreciated, always enjoy catching up with you, and yeah, getting your take on things that I would never normally bump into in my busy life.
Okay.
All right. Yes, so thanks. Yes, thanks so much, Ali. We'll talk to you same time next week.
Okay.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.